Hello and welcome to Grumpy Old Teachers. How are you doing today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, this holiday season? John Samuelson up in Portland, Oregon, down in SoCal that's burning right now. We have
John, it has
our
been
good
bad,
friend.
Buddy. It has been a bad season.
Bad.
And you know what? It was heartily predictable because the amount of rain we had was so it was like one of the largest amounts of rain we've had in a long time down here, and things just grew. And sadly enough, man, there's a lot of people. I think the last number I heard was like 150,000 displaced out of their homes. Like some insane
number. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's over 100,000. It's just not good.
It's not good. In Orange County, you're always safe though.
Not really.
No. Scott, behind, introduce yourself.
We call it behind the orange curtain too, John. Behind the orange curtain.
Right. You are. Orange theories are abound.
there are a lot of orange theories down here, I'll tell you that.
There, I know. Scott, introduce yourself.
I am Scott, Tim
Bedley.
Bedley's younger brother, Bedley.
Gene Bedley's son.
Yes, I am the son of Gene, the brother of Tim.
Former teacher of the year.
A friend of John, former teacher of the year, way back in the year 2014. John, it's a fitting memory. It's kind of like, I'm kind of like right now, I'm like the restaurant that hangs like the award from like 1999 mm-hmm. that they had like the greatest food ever. That's like me right mm-hmm. now, basically.
That's right. Right. You are the People's Choice Award for 2007, but now it's like 2017 and, you know, there's a Kenny Rogers Roasters moving in and it's looking pretty good.
Well, it's Kenny Rogers.
Whatever happened to poor Kenny? Yeah, that's like Kenny Rogers Roasters. You know what I liked about Kenny Rogers Roasters was you could get some cream spinach there fast. I want my cream spinach. If I want cream spinach, I want it fast.
You want cream spinach? And I know you really like those spiced beans that they used to mm-hmm. have from, what's that chicken place called? El Pollo Loco?
Oh my gosh. The smoky black beans from El Pollo Loco, I will never forgive them for not having them anymore. I will never forgive them. That was a staple of my diet when I first started teaching. Because, you know, I did a lot of cooking when I was a youngster back in 1995, 96, my first year in Las Vegas, when I didn't really know too many people. But there was an El Pollo Loco on the way to my school. And boy, if I couldn't stop there for breakfast, I sure stopped there on the way home for dinner.
Now, John, are people able to watch us live right now if they really wanted to? Not that
they
would want us to, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, remember Christina said last time, but Christina Lewis, I mean, I hope she's in bed. It's 2:36 in the morning. Come on, Christina.
She's probably not.
I know she probably isn't. She's probably working. I found out last time that we did have one viewer. And I don't know if my mom's trying to scare me, but my mom fessed up and said that it was her.
What?
Yeah.
I love your mom. It was so much fun to meet her this summer, John.
I'm telling you, she puts on a good show for people. She does.
I loved her.
Hey, she was great. I loved her then because we went and got that great sushi.
We did get some good
sushi. You watched the kids. Oh, my gosh. I went there again after you. You were gone too. I went there without you.
Fantastic place. If you're in SoCal, hit me up, DM me. I will lead you to the right, or DM David Terrio. Probably much better, as far as that.
You know, can we talk? I feel like David Terrio and I are probably, I don't know, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks out from actually starting up a podcast again. But
are you
what
really?
I think so. But what is David Terrio? What is he? I can't understand. Now, he was very happy with the Angels getting Ohtani today, but then I saw him at like the World Series or the playoffs against the Cubs, and
he's one
with
of those
the Dodgers.
Guys who likes the Mets and the Yankees.
Okay, so I'm like that because I like the Cubs and the Sox.
Yeah, you're one.
But
of
I don't live there
too.
Anymore. I don't live there anymore though. That's why I don't live there. I feel like I have a better excuse than David.
I am not a Dodgers and an Angels fan, John. I will tell you that right away. I am not a if anything, I'm a Padres and an Angels fan or anything but a Dodgers fan.
There you go.
I'm poisoned, John. You live in this place for so long and you saw the Dodgers get so much press. Like the Dodgers would get more press than the Angels if they lost a game and the Angels threw like a no-hitter, best game of the year, and the Dodgers would still get more press. And it was always like you were second fiddle. And understandably so, the Dodgers were a storied franchise and all that stuff, whatever. But I just grew up an Angels fan, and I'm going to stay that way for life.
When if we ever get some links together, we should put the video of Scott Bedley catching the first World Series homer hit by an Angel in Anaheim. We have that on YouTube. We found that on YouTube last time I visited.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I actually caught a home run ball.
It was a young, excited Scott Bedley.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now, John. That's like 15 years ago now.
Who hit the home run? Was it Troy Glaus?
It's Troy Glaus.
Oh, well, look at me. See, I've got a good memory for an old man. Anyway, we're the grumpy old teachers. We're snarky. We're here. We're here to snark, and so get used to it. That's our new motto. I don't know. I just made that up. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit. John. Thank you. Thanks. I'm just riffing off the top of my head. Well, let's talk a little. Let's just talk about something topical. I could lead Scott. We were talking about what we should talk about earlier, and I feel like we'll get in trouble a little bit, but we'll save that for a second. How'd you do out for Hour of Code this week, Scott Bedley?
You know what, John? I love Hour of Code. I will say this. When I started looking at the Hour of Code stuff they now have, it all of a sudden this year, in the third, was it the third year only, right?
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think Brian and I, we looked it up for our Steam Team podcast. I want to say 2014 it started. So, yeah, and it was like January of 2014 is when they kind of came up with the idea. So, yeah, I think it's been only 3 years. They've gotten good press for it. Because, I mean, technically it's Computer Science Education Week, right? That's where they got it from, right?
Right. So,
right. So it's good, looking, good stuff. It's gotten good press.
No, I started looking at all the stuff, and it started becoming too education-y. There was like all these deep lesson plans, and I'm sure they're fantastic. I didn't go through them completely, but there are like so many lesson plans and lessons and scripted kind of prescriptive things, and it's just not how I roll with CS Week and Hour of Code, whatever you want to call it. Like, I want kids to explore and be inspired. I don't want to give them, let's start here with the vocabulary. Let's go over some questions. Let's do this like this traditional style lesson. And I was a bit pushed back on it, John. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how we do this, but we do this to everything that might have some kind of actual interest to kids. Is we educationize it. I don't even know what the phrase would be, but it's just brutal to me.
I think that's the term. Yeah, I mean, when you, or that's the kind of food I just ordered for takeout the other day. Educationize. I think that's a valid point. I didn't get into as many. I mean, I'll admit my fault. I didn't get in to do it as much as I wanted to this week. I seemed like I was helping with other things, which was good. So I was out there working a lot, which was very un-Tosa-like and very un-me-like, because usually I'm just sitting at Starbucks drinking a soy latte while I watch Taibo.
I thought it was BlackRock, John.
It is BlackRock, but I don't know. I was trying to quote my favorite group, Train. It's she has a soy latte while she does Taibo and finds that there's room to grow, which is good because there's always room to grow. Lifelong learning.
That's number one on your Spotify list is Train.
Right, education is right there. Always do be a lifelong learner. But I had some kids share some stuff like this week that was unexpected, which was kind of nice. I went and visited one of my old schools I was responsible for, and I went in there and one of the kids said, "Hey, remember when you showed us Scratch last year? Look, here's my game." And it was really cool. And so I said, "Oh, that's awesome." And I happened to be showing a principal the school. We brought some people over. What would you call it? I love how we call stuff like the pineapple, like when you go and see other people teach lessons. Is that called the pineapple chart now or something like that, right?
Have you seen that? I haven't heard that phrase. The pineapple chart.
The thing? Pineapple, like I'm gonna teach this lesson and you can come into my room and you called it, but I think somebody, you talked about it on Bedley Brothers, right? like, this is how we should go in and see other teachers teach lessons. But I think somebody took it and made it like the pineapple chart or something. Like they took thing that you talked about in the Bedley Brothers like a year and a half ago, and they gave it a
cute. We had Marzano on a couple years ago, and he kind of coined the phrase instructional rounds, and
No, it didn't work. It's pineapple now.
Okay,
pineapple. I'll look it up.
Anything that has to do with fruit or food, I'm in.
Right. I don't know. I'm gonna look it up in a. I'll look it up in a second if my computer can handle the bandwidth. But so anyway, so I was bringing the teacher, and the boy went through and showed. I had him show the principal. I said, "Will you show this principal the coding stuff?" And so he went through, and I wish he had showed more probably of the inside, and I coached him a little bit more on what to say. But I'm trying to take that step back, Scott, and just let. You know, hey, it's the kid's show or whatever. So he's trying to get her, but I took a nice picture of the principal, like getting the talk on coding. And so that was my old school. It's not my school anymore. But then the class that I did coding with, even today when I went in later in the day, she's like, I really liked the code.org website. She's like, I went through 10 lessons last night. Oh, yeah. And I was like, and I think her mom even tweeted about it, right? And she's a little third grader. And I was like,
and that's where I'm totally wrong, because I'm like, I do not want these lesson plans, but probably most people do. I don't want that structure. I had a ton of fun taking my kids over to our first grade little buddies class and bringing Spheros and bringing our Chromebooks and getting in there and like having the kids work together. And the first grade teacher that I little buddy with, I mean, she was fantastic. She had this like gingerbread coding activity for the kids to do together. It was awesome, man. We had so much fun, and I gave the kids a choice every day. John, you know, I do daily five, and that's like a reading structure that I totally believe in and have seen a lot of impact. And I gave the kids a choice to add coding into it, because I feel like coding is a language. It's there's so much that goes along with it. That's cause and effect and grammar. There's like, I mean, you know, because you've been doing this just, there's a power in that goes along with language arts, not just math. And I know coding gets pushed into this math framework, but I think there's some powerful elements that connect with language arts as well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because one of the things I did was I thought when I went in to do my hour of code, I've got a really great teacher, Robin Tanksley, and she teaches third grade now. And she moved from fourth last year. And she's like, yeah, just come in and do hour of code. She's like, I don't care what you do. Right. So then I forget she has iPads. So it's like I was going to do Scratch with them, like regular Scratch, have them like animate their name or have them pick from one of the 10 activities that's on the side and just write and show them. I give like a little 5-minute song and dance and let them go.
Right.
And then just if they ask a question, I'm getting a lot better now every coding lesson I do.
Is Brian going to be jealous that we're talking about coding together? Because this is...
That's right. Do you want to rub it? Well, yeah, he probably will. He probably will.
I'm sorry, Brian. It's I love you, dude.
Brian Briggs, Scott is now trying to get at you with this one. But so when we went in, like, I'm getting better, I think, at, like, the leading questions where, you know, you always just want to go, oh, okay, here, yeah, you hit the scissors to erase the Scratch cat or whatever, right? Or get rid of it or delete it or whatever. Or you can right click. There's so many different ways you can do the Scratch, and you can scratch that itch. And I think the more I do the lessons, the more I get better at like kind of like leading questions. I'm like, and then I can kind of spot the error and go, I think you need to, it's not doing what you want to do, huh? I'm like, I don't know. I think that you need to look over here and maybe look at, you know, this. I feel like I'm getting better at like not giving them the answers and just kind of going, yeah, no, I think you should look at that. Or yeah, that looks cool. You should remix that one or whatever. And
let me ask you this. Should teachers be afraid of coding? Like if they don't know how to code, like I cannot say that I have an expertise in coding. Like I don't, it's something that feels uncomfortable to me a lot. So should teachers be afraid?
I mean, not only should they not be afraid of it, but they should, I feel like it's the good, it might be even the gateway. Like when I used to say like Adobe Spark and Adobe Spark Video is the gateway drug for teachers to use technology. I almost feel like coding and teaching coding and letting kids kind of go and explore a little bit and just like letting go of the control that you want to have of your classroom. I mean, it might set you free a little bit and just be like, coding is where a lot of jobs will go in the future. It's great for kids to understand it. And yes, the kids might know more than I do, but that's okay. I can let those kids maybe get up and start teaching the class and showing them a little bit and learning along with them. It might be the gateway drug to actually teaching the way I think that teaching should go a little bit, and not have to worry about control and not worrying about having to be, you know, it's like we always say, what is it? The sage on the stage or whatever thing. That's like the guide on the side. And then I always like the one where we go, okay, you could be the guide on the side or you could be the mentor in the center. Right. And then you can just go and let them go and see where, and if they do something really cool that blows your mind, have them show you how they did it. And then, I mean, I know that my brain is old and shrinking and losing knowledge every day, but I try and learn more. And I feel like you can learn more. I mean, I remember Troy Glaus hit the homer, so my brain can't be shrinking that much. But I don't know, Scott. I feel like that's the way you got to. I feel like if you could, coding is probably something that you should teach. You shouldn't just do it for an hour. You should start to embed it. We're gonna have the guy from, and he's in your neck of the woods actually, from Code Campus. He went to the Irvine School District, is what he told me, and so. We're going to try and get some people together this Wednesday, and we're going to try and get some people, teachers, to go through the videos on Code Campus and have little people that are knowledgeable to help you kind of alleviate those fears at like 8 of our elementary campuses. And we're going to try and build on that a little bit. Do you know, remember what I said? Did he ever get in touch with you, Scott? Because I did tell him to get in touch with you in Irvine. You know, you're muted though, right? So if you're doing the automatic mute thing, because
he did not. Sorry, John.
He didn't get in touch with you. So we'll see how it goes.
He didn't,
we'll
but I, you know, I don't know.
You're working, right? You can't have, because I have to like, I have to take the phone call at Starbucks, you know, Scott, because that's how Tosas do it, right? that's how Ann Cosma does it, right? She sits there. She has to like organize things, so she has to go. You know, we have to go to Starbucks. I go to Starbucks all the time. Give Ann Cosma a call. Then we give selfies while we're on the phone. It's fun. I just want to keep talking about Ann Cosma until I realize that she actually listens to the show. Ann Cosma, if you're listening, I want you to come back at me. Fire back at me with that one. Otherwise, I'm just going to make fun of you taking selfies and being at Starbucks, you and Ben Cogswell getting like your avatars made. I'm going to keep making fun of those two until I know that they listen to the show. And then if they do, they can fire one back and I'll stop immediately. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep going at them.
I think you are, John. I think
I know. I was on them last time too.
I mean, you're almost convincing me.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but anyway, it's I think it's a good thing. If you haven't heard of Code Campus, go to Code Campus. You can learn very easily. And you know, the Mad Libs, once I found out you could do Mad Libs and presentations kind of like Google Slides, and you could interactively code them, and they almost would work the same as students demonstrating their knowledge if they just did like a Google Slides presentation, you could really amp it up a lot then. And that's a good way to just embed it, and it's not an extra thing. You know, it would just take a little bit of patience. You would fail a few times, but you'd lose control a little bit. But eventually, I don't know, the teacher that I'm talking with, I mean, she gives up control, but it pays dividends in the long run because the kids are independent and good thinkers.
But like, okay, so the fear of giving up control is that somehow that means you aren't, okay, so you're not doing your job. You're failing if you're not in control. If you're not the one doing the thing, you're hired to do the thing of teaching. And if the kids are doing too much, John, and you're not doing enough, mm-hmm. then that's a little bit scary for teachers.
No, I know it can be scary. I don't know. It's, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I feel like it's something that, I don't know. I don't know if I'm good at it anymore because I haven't taught for a while. I mean, I just know that I was the person that, like, if there was a teacher on my team that said, "Hey, I want to go in the computer lab and do something," I'd be like, "Okay, you know what? I'll go in first. I'll try it out, and then I'll." It's almost like like when we used to go in, like in, I don't know, like 2009, 2010. You'd have to see like what you'd have to fight to get the thing done. Like, what would be the problems, or is it this browser not working, and all those different things. So I'd be the person who would go in. I'd be like, "Okay, class, this might not work, but we're gonna try it, and we're gonna wait patiently work through if we have a problem, and we're not gonna freak out." And I feel like if you do that enough times with your students, by the end of the year, they're like, "Yeah, we can't do this." And I'm like, "Okay, well, then we'll zigzag over and do something different," and they can find something different if they have enough stuff in their bag of tricks. But I'd always go in the, because we'd have to go back, and we'd have to go in the computer lab back in the day, right, to get some stuff done. It wasn't like devices are now, like a decade ago. And I'd always tell the teacher,
We'd have to book it like 3 weeks out
right.
and then go to the computer lab,
Does
John.
your I that's interest That's an interesting question, Scott. Does your new school, because you're at a brand new school, do they have a computer lab there, or do they just kind of have learning spaces?
Well, it was designed, John. It was originally designed for a computer lab, and then because we were one-to-one with Chromebooks. How could I be Chromebooks when I'm a Microsoft guy, right?
That's right. Oh my gosh. Maybe, Scott, you could actually do both, and it
Yeah,
would be
it's
awesome,
shocking. I'm
right?
going to choose the best, like I've
Tool
always
for the
said,
job.
best tool for the job guy. No, but they took the actual computer lab that was supposed to be this computer lab, and they turned it we've turned it into an innovation lab where we're bringing in tools and saws and even pressure cookers and whatever we can to have the kids experience all kinds of different things as far as what technology and innovation might mean. We're not limiting it to that technology is a
A
computer.
Chromebook. Right. Hey, do you put an Instapot there? I heard that's the newest, best
Well,
instant
yeah,
pressure cooker
we
ever.
have some Instapots. That's true,
Okay.
John.
Have you used an Instapot before?
I've watched people use an Instapot and eaten food from an Instapot,
Is it good?
and probably seen way too many Instagram Instapot shots. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about Nicole? Are you talking about Nicole Carter? Has she taken Instapot shots lately? Has Canada Chris Giles, has he put in some Instapot stuff
I
lately?
don't think I've ever seen Chris Giles do
You
Oh
know what he did?
gosh.
I
Sorry,
love
Chris
Chris
Giles
Giles.
and Nicole.
Sorry, Chris. But no, I didn't know. I was seriously asking because those two love the Instapot, but I haven't seen like if they put pictures of it on Instagram,
Listen,
so
John.
I don't know. We'll have to see. They are,
Listen.
we know they are kind of, we know that Canada Chris, and I work with both these
Do
people,
we need to
Canada
go
Chris,
down
Nicole
the
Carter.
Instagram like path again?
Yeah, do we have to go to Instagram? But I will say that those two are a little bit of oversharers, oversharing alert, but that's okay. That's the way they live their lives. So that's good. I don't knock them. In
You
fact,
know
the other
what,
day,
John? It is not okay. Come on. You don't
okay,
want to
but no,
know
I mean,
when you've spilled salsa on the floor and stuff.
did Chris Charles take a picture of spilling salsa?
No, he didn't. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Okay. So,
But we
but I
don't want
thought.
to know about that. That's not what Instagram is for. Like, that's not what well, I don't know about Facebook because I'm not really a big Facebook
I don't know what Facebook's for anymore. Old people.
Instagram is not for sharing. Well, whatever.
What is it not for sharing? Go ahead, finish your
It's
sentence.
not for sharing all the like. It's for sharing cool
Minutia.
pictures of things.
Yeah.
Like you do great pictures of things and they're somewhat artistic.
Yeah, as artistic as I can get, which isn't very good, but I try. You know,
Well,
I only do Instagram like live stories, like if I'm at a concert or an event, kind of, right? I don't do like Instagram stories of like I'm sitting over here at 3:30, on the computer, or I'm like, I don't take a picture of my TV and say, "Oh, this is a good game." I don't do that stuff. But if I'm at a game, I'll share it. I like to share when I'm at concerts, so those are the rare times.
Okay, so in Instagram stories, John, you're telling an actual story when you are at a location, you're at a game, you're at a concert, whatever, you're telling a story about that. I'm being a little grumpy tonight. I don't know what it is.
Good. Good. Yeah, you should be more grumpy. You need to be more snarky. I'm always the snarky one, Scott. I feel like we renamed my chat. So the other day we have our
Voxer chat. Toasted, John. I don't have time to be in the classroom.
So yeah, I mean, right. You guys are actually working. So when we sit there on Voxer, we have our Voxer like group chat or whatever. I feel like they've named it Grumpy Old Teacher Chat now because I came in and kind of grumped. But the other day, Chris was, I think he went to Costco on a Saturday, Chris Giles, because he's always looking for a bargain, right? That's Chris's thing. He likes to look for a bargain. And then everybody kind of started chipping in on him and were like, oh yeah, I would never go to Costco on a Saturday. And like two or three people jumped in on him. I said, hey, back. And that wasn't an Instagram post. That was just in our private group Voxer. So I was like, hey, back off Canada, Chris. He likes what he likes. He likes to search for a bargain. Don't rain on his parade. He likes bargains, and he admits it. So let him be.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They were kind of jumping on him. I came to his defense. I came to his aid. He doesn't need me to come to his aid, but I don't know. I just feel like you can't knock it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Nicole, you know, goes and takes 15 pictures of Instapot and puts it on Instagram. Right. I mean, that's her thing. Let her go. But Canada Chris was just putting it into our little Voxer. It wasn't going out to the world, you know.
I'm gonna just keep. I've told you this. I just want to start posting a link to Vocabulary's Overshare. Their whole social media.
You know what we should do? Okay, so here's an idea. Let's start brainstorming ideas. So. The biggest overshare out there, of course, right now is, and I'll still keep bagging on it, is, and I, not that I don't like it as a tool, is Flipgrid, right? So Flipgrid, I'm a Flipgrid certified educator. I'm this. Maybe we should start a Flipgrid, and then when
bashing just, on Flipgrid.
No. I'm not bashing on Flipgrid. I'm saying that we.
Bashing on Flipgrid.
Yeah, we should start the hashtag Flipgrid bashing. But we should do that when people are oversharing. We should just be, and it could just be us posting our videos or whatever. But I'm like, oh, look at this overshare. And I could hold up my phone and be like, oh my gosh, what is this person thinking? You know? And then we could do a whole Flipgrid of just capturing moments of people oversharing. And then we could overshare it on Flipgrid. It'd be like comical. It'd be ironical. So there you go. But you know what? I want to be a Flipgrid sort. I think, you know what I got the other day, Scott? And I should put it on my Twitter profile. I need to change my Twitter profile.
Wait, John, are you a Spiro hero?
No, they haven't. Come on, Scott. You know darn well they haven't closed out the nominations for Spiro Hero yet. You know you still have time to turn in your application for that, and they haven't even started the rounds.
I'm kind of joking about it now, but I really honestly do, John. I really do love Spheros, and I love their app. Yeah. I think their app is awesome, man. I love Spiro EDU app, and I love the Spheros app. If I had all the money in the world, I would buy a bunch of their little cue balls that they just came out with. And
they're cue balls. Scott, they're called Spheros Minis. You know that. Let's call them cue balls. Did you see that Lightning McQueen went down for 2 days? It's down to 229.
No, I think you didn't. I did see the Bitcoins at like $50,000. Let's talk about Bitcoin, John. Who's not talking about Bitcoin? We can't have a podcast without talking about Bitcoin.
Right, I think that's a different podcast, but yeah, we could talk about the Bitcoin. You know, I only look for ed tech bargains. I don't look for anything that would benefit me personally that I could invest in. I'm not concerned with that because I just want to live in my life of poverty as a teacher and buy cool stuff. And now that I won't get to write it off, my $500 spending money on ed tech stuff. Thanks for that, Congress or whoever passed that law. Thank you.
John,
it's like so interesting. Yeah.
When you talk about Congress, it just kind of kills my heart.
Okay, so let's go into something else. So Hour of Code, I think, was pretty fun. I like it.
And for us at our site, it's a kickoff to actually like the real computer science programming and coding that'll happen throughout the rest of the year. It's kind of our big celebration and launch.
Yep. I think that I'm going in on Tuesday and doing some more Scratch Junior. Hour of Code may be over as we, well, it lasts a couple more days. I think it goes till the 10th, but for me, I will keep on keeping on the entire time. And I'm doing a lot of stuff with coding, trying to do it every single week. I think the more you do, the better off you are. The more you know. Okay, so now we're stop for a second. We're about halfway through the show. Let's stop for a second. I don't know. I was looking. It's about a half hour. You know how we're always on an hour. Are you tired? You're saying you want to stop now? That was
midnight on the West Coast.
I know, but we're both on the West Coast.
Like Christina Lewis is, it's probably, you know, past 3 a.m.
It is. It's 3:04 a.m. So I think that's a song by 311, 3:04 a.m. So anyway, I was going to say, we've got a new segment coming on, and we're going to try this for each show. This is my brainstorm. Scott is going along, but he kind of got into it a little bit. So we wanted to find a way to keep it light a little bit. I mean, we can only talk Hour of Code, and I think we're probably going to lead in after this to bashing administrators a little bit. What? Is that right, Scott?
I would never bash administrators, John.
I know. Administrators are
my
so
My dad
good.
Was an administrator. How could I bash
he
him?
He was. I know. He was administrator of the year. So let's go ahead and take a look.
He was educator of the year, John.
Oh, he was educator of the year. Oh, that's better. Yeah. So let's go through. Has Tim ever won any awards? Tim Bedley ever won any awards?
He's won far more awards than you would imagine.
I mean, besides like champion of, the Orange County kale eating contest and like the Pine Needle.
He won Riverside County kale eating and he won Healthiest Teacher of the Year award. He also won Best Smoothie by a Teacher award.
Wow, Terrio must be jealous.
Terrio is jealous. Well, Terrio won Orange County's. He also
won.
No, Tim was Riverside County Teacher of the Year, and should have got a lot farther, but he didn't really care.
He didn't care.
He did not.
Was he yelling Compton, but he moved to Riverside County? Anyway, so Scott and I think Scott just left real quick, but he'll come back in a second.
Leave.
So, okay, so you can leave. That's okay. Nobody's like watching the show anyway. There's like five. Christina Luce, I think, is the only one that watches the show when it pops up after YouTube Live. So we're going to do I'm going to try and blog a little bit more. And I figured that one of the ways that I like to is by talking about music. We both really like music. We could talk about movies, but Scott doesn't like movies because he's still never seen that movie that I've told him to see. What's the movie that I've told you to see, Scott?
Boyhood.
Okay, good. At least you remembered it because that was a test right there. I was hoping you wouldn't say Parenthood.
Tatum Tanning. No,
Tatum. With Tatum Channing and Laura Linney. So anyway, what we've got is we picked six songs that were from the olden days because we're old. And then we picked six new songs and we put them on a Spotify playlist. And this one is titled, and I'll share it on a blog post, The Grumpy Dozen. So if you need a 50-minute workout playlist, this is probably not what you need, but you can listen to it while you're doing some work. You know what? For the Tosas like Ann Cosma and Ben Cogswell, you can listen to this while you're at Starbucks on your headphones, on your Apple AirPods.
Hey, John, and, you know what I love about posts sometimes?
What's that?
Now. I'm going there, John. It's past midnight.
Okay.
I'm allowed
to. Okay, go ahead.
I love when I see pictures on Twitter of Tosas doing really cool things with like robots and blah, blah, blahs mm-hmm. in like parking lots and not with kids. Or they're amongst their other Tosas doing mm-hmm. these cool things and not with kids. Or they are saying how great their life is being a Tosa playing with robots but not teaching kids. I love that.
Okay, so I will say that maybe we'll save the administrators. Maybe we should just bag on Tosas for a while.
No,
that's kind of a fun
I
one.
I love Tosas that do that, John. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yes, you do
what
love
better
them because
thing
they're out.
should be doing than tweeting out during the daytime about how they're playing with robots in the parking lot with no kids and all other adults there? That's what TOSA should be doing. Isn't that part of their job?
It is part of their job. No, you know what it was funny was I just saw a picture right when I was waiting for you to you know, get join the hangout that we couldn't get joined. But I love Melissa Lim up in Portland more than anything. But the picture came across my feed and I just laughed and I think I had to reply to it. So it was a picture and she said something like, here, I'll have to look it up. But it was a picture of like two teachers and they were like, she's like, doing some hour of code at lunchtime. And then I said, wow, those look like really old kids. Are they? Oh, it said hour of code 2017 activities of lunchtime. They have three older ladies sitting there doing hour of code in some kind of a vacant room. And so my response to that was, wow, those students look a little older. Are they in middle school? But I just looked at that and I was like, right, what is that picture? Why kids are supposed to be doing hour of code. I don't want to see a bunch of teachers doing hour of code in some vacant room. That's not Melissa's usually spot on with her post, but I thought that was a misfire. I just started laughing. I'm like, wow, that's what I want to see is teachers doing hour of code. The whole point is kids are supposed to do hour of code, right?
Kids,
oh my goodness,
doing hour code. Kids are supposed to be with the robots. And John, I mean, you know, I'm being really super sarcastic when I talk about all this, but like, and only because I'm in my classroom and I'm handing over the iPads to the kids. I'm saying, figure out Swift Playgrounds on your own. Mm-hmm. I'll do it with you. Let's go through it together. Mm-hmm. Like, let's mm-hmm. figure out how to do this block coding together on Sphero EDU. But I just feel like there's a loss when you're not testing things out with kids to see what engages them, because that's our job.
Right. You know, I was thinking about this a little bit, like,
John, I want to say this before you get into this, the post that you put on, and you know, I'm always a John praiser because I think highly of you.
You shouldn't be, but okay.
I look at your tweets and they show kids doing things, and that's what I appreciate about you, and I appreciate about the TOSAs that are doing that, and I joke that all TOSAs are like that. We joke about this a lot, but I know there's a lot of TOSAs doing great work out there. They're getting things in the hands of kids. They're making things valuable and intriguing and inspirational for kids, and I appreciate that a lot.
Well, thanks. I know. I don't really do any posts that involve, I don't know. I feel like professional development, we try and do, I mean, I really try and do it a little bit differently. I try and give as little talking as possible and as a lot of hands-on things. And, you know, occasionally, I haven't done it lately, but occasionally, you know, I might take a picture of adults doing some PD or something, but I don't really find that, like, that's not really interesting to me or engaging. Like, that's what people should be doing anyway, but it is cool when you can see kids doing stuff and people actually, you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see kids doing hour of code. I want to see kids today. I think the two tweets I probably put out today were kids doing book creator, which I was so happy that someone was finally making a book on book creator. Cause it just seems like,
is that what it's
called? Kind of a lost thing, right? I just thought I'm like, I haven't had a lot of teachers in the 4 years I've been up here ask me to, like, they want to make a digital, like an ebook or whatever. And I always thought I would make those. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. But so we finally had some of that. And then, like, even just doing like a little craft stuff today, I just kind of walked into that teacher I was talking about, and they were doing buddies, and I don't know. I just like seeing kids like doing some makerish type stuff, and it had nothing to. My post today pretty much had nothing to do with technology. Book creator, yes, but they were also, what I thought was cool was they were making the written books, and then they were at the same time they were transferring it over so that they could put it into, like, you know, the iTunes library because they have iPads, and they were using Book Creator. I thought it was cool. So,
listen,
yeah, I don't know.
If people out there aren't doing tech buddies, like, I've been doing tech buddies with the same teacher for the last few years. We both moved over to the new site, and And it's really super incredible power. Like, it's a powerful tool to really inspire both the younger kids and the older kids. And, you know, if you're not doing Tech Buddies, it's something that you need to try to find a way to work into your schedule. And I know people are really hold on to their minutes, but Tech Buddies, oh my gosh, John, it's awesome. And it's awesome to see the kids working with each other, on both sides, whether or not you're the one that has the younger kids or the older kids or whatever it is. It's just a really powerful experience for the kids themselves.
Mm-hmm. You know what, I saw this week a little bit was we had, G Bundy with us, and he was doing some 3D printing with some fifth graders for that City X project. Right. So he's bringing over their 3D printers for him. And so he comes over real quick, but he does, you know, and everybody has their different little things with buddies. He calls them tech Sherpas, but he trains the Sherpas and shows them how, you know, because you have to load the filament and learn how to work, you know, you have to learn how to work the programs and whatever, you know, whatever they're going to, if they're going to use AutoCAD or whatever they're going to use with it to 3D print. And it's just cool to watch him like kind of train the kids and let them do it then. And I don't know, I find that that's something I have to try and do all the time is I'm like, here, I'm going to show you how to do this. Now you're the expert, show everybody else, especially if I'm in like a first grade class with iPads, because I'm already way outnumbered. But if I can get a couple kids going, let them teach each other, you know, I mean, it's the way to go. I don't know. That's what we did. So that's what we did for Hour of Code. I taught him Scratch Junior. And by the way, can I just say this about the Scratch? I was going to say this earlier about the Scratch Junior lesson. So I came in to do Scratch Junior, and this is the class that's been on Apple Classroom. You know, Apple Classroom, the one that's kind of like Apple's management system for iPads. Do you know what I'm talking about, Scott?
I do.
Okay, so can I just say this? And, you know, I probably get in trouble with the Apple Mafia for this. But, and you know, I love Apple stuff. I love Google stuff too, but I just don't sit there. I love Microsoft stuff too. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that I like, but I mean, Apple Classroom is not working at all. Like it the thing that we came in and should have worked, I spent like 30 minutes fixing stuff. It is just not working, and it's been almost 2 years trying to get this up with this classroom, and it's just not working. I would love to hear from anyone that has had like a flawless experience with Apple Classroom, because our Apple person keeps coming over, and Steve's a great guy, Steve Nelson, but I mean, holy cow. It just doesn't seem like it works, whatever our configuration is. And I don't know if it's, you know, you don't never know if it's us or if it's Apple, but boy, when we started rolling out iPads, you know, 6 years ago, I wish they would have had something like that. And it just seems like they've never perfected it. You know, it seems like it's a shame for a company like that.
Well, I mean, it really hasn't been around that long for them, has it, John? I mean, they denied wanting to do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. And then it was almost like they felt forced to create this management system for education that by that point we had all figured out workarounds, and we're like, we don't need you.
Right. And that's, I mean, the amount of money that I've been paid in my life spent fixing iPads for the last like 6 or 7 years, and even iPod touches, it's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of, and it, you know, quite frankly, it's a lot of wasted time, you know, it's a lot of wasted time. I wanted to really work with these kids and get them, because we were going to teach them to do buddies with their Scratch Junior, so they could do it, teach it to their kindergarten buddies. And yeah, it kind of stunk that I had to sit there and be able to fix these iPads the whole time because they weren't connecting or whatever. So anyway, if there's any, I mean, let's spend a little less time trying to be ADEs people and a little bit more time. How about forcing Apple to do the right thing? I mean, that's the, you know, they should have been working on that a long time ago. And you're right. They fought it and fought it. And then they kind of came up with this. They're like, oh no, it works. And that's the thing. They are like, the people in my district are always like, no, you know, it's working. And I'm like, no, it's not working. And they're coming in now to fix it. So anyway, kind of like education fails sometimes, you know, but that was okay, because the kids that got on there, I had two iPads of my own that I could give to them. So we worked around it, but that's the kind of stuff where that's when teachers actually do explore stuff and are taking chances. You want the technology, like the Wi-Fi and all that stuff, to succeed. And when it doesn't, it just kind of breaks your heart a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, darn it, that was a miss. That was a miss. So,
and anyway. I think those are the, those kind of things are the ones that really just make it tough for anybody that's not ready 100% to integrate.
Yep. It makes them right, because they're like, look, see, look, the tech person's here, and they still, it still doesn't work, right? But I think that that kind of reassures them a little. Sometimes, in some way, it can be comforting to them a little bit, you know. What are you playing? Are you playing the Ipanema? Be careful. Do we have copyright for that? Do we have to do? Hey, so let's talk a little bit about our musical picks. So, Scott, if you could pick one of the or two of the songs, what's your favorite new song that you put on the Grumpy Dozen playlist that we will tweet out at some point?
My favorite new song?
Yeah, the favorite new song out of the three you picked.
Well, there's a couple, John. There's a couple that I picked.
Okay, well, talk about them. Go ahead, Dick Clark.
Yeah. you told me that I look really good for an older man. Is that what you're saying, John? I look really good for an older man?
Or you could talk about one of the old ones. I wanted to try and work in some pop culture for us, since we obviously know that you'll never watch Boyhood movie ever. You can't, like, Ethan Hawke, a fine man. You won't watch him.
Watch his kids. Great in the 1990s. I don't know about now, though, John.
After you divorced Uma, that was kind of sad.
Yeah, who does that?
I will tell you right now that for my new song that I picked, Foster the People Sit Next to Me, which isn't that new, but I've somehow just discovered it, and I really like it. It's my new elliptical song, so I will just listen to that on repeat. I think Scott and I are the same, because if we like a new song, we'll just listen to it on repeat a bunch of times in a row. That's the way I am.
Yeah, I kind of do that, way, Scott? Man.
Yeah, I do too.
I've got a couple songs that I'll hit repeat and listen to like 70 times in a row. I don't know why I do that, but
yeah, it's because we're born in the 70s. So anyway, Children of the 70s. So that's my new pick. And then I don't know, for my old pick, I trying to go with the theme a little bit. But so I just picked one of those special songs from my high school years, Scott Bedley, in the 80s. There's a young John Samuelson with a bunch of acne, trying to woo the ladies, trying to find his way in the world of romance. And I always liked Only You by Yaz. So that was one where I had Upstairs at Eric's, and I had the vinyl, you know, of Upstairs at Eric's, and I could lend it to girls, and you know.
I thought you were like gonna go with Owner of a Lonely Heart, John, there.
That's a good one too. I like Owner of a Lonely Heart. Isn't that what they sing like in that Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston movie? And they go, prove yourself, like the Tone Rangers. Yeah. Do you know
Owner
that movie? What is that movie?
Owner of a Lonely Heart. Much better than a
I really like
Broken Heart.
I really like that movie with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. Where the you know why? Because it's set in Chicago. It just reminds me of stuff.
Anything Chicago.
So anyway. I know, I'm a sucker for anything Chicago. So anyway, those are my songs right now. Those are my two that I'm going to mention. And now Scott will give you Scott.
All right. I'm going to go oldies first, and I'm going to go with Tenderness from General Public, because I got a chance to see, you know, General Public / do you know the other band that they were, John?
Were they Sum 41?
No.
I'm sorry. I was going to say Level 42.
What other band? General Public before they
General
were
Public. Public Image Limited.
No, come on, okay. John. Oh.
Public Enemy. Come on, I don't know. Obviously, just like
I'm
you
not
don't know.
Tell you, this is my Chatham Tanning Fatum. What's his name?
Channing Tatum.
Yes, that's my moment right now.
This is your moment. General Tatum to General Public. What's their old group's name?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know, to be honest with you. It's not they sound a lot like
It's the English
Oh, I can't think of it.
The English Beat.
Oh, English Beat. Okay. All right, there you go.
They became General Public, and I love English Beat, but Tenderness by General Public is really a fantastic song, John.
What What movie was that in? They played Tenderness at the end.
That's a good
question.
Like,
it's like the closing one. I think that there's like a famous like 80s-ish movie. So when you get this on Spotify, people, we'll share the link to Spotify. It'll sound a lot better than over than Scott playing it over his phone. So he's gonna go to. By the way, everyone, I will also tell you that Scott Bedley is a psychotic Rage Against the Machine fan, and he will always put one of his favorite Rage Against the Machine songs for at least the first two or three of these playlists.
Always. I don't know how I get away from Rage Against the Machine. It was,
oh my gosh, you know, so
I mean, the band grew up in the same town that I grew up in, and I don't know how I get away from them. It's just good stuff, John. It taps into something that I think every good rebellious person that's trying to make a difference can feel, right?
Mm-hmm. I will tell you right now that I think one of my AirPods is just like clunking out on me.
Powering down, huh?
Yeah, it's like it was, must have been that hour I was waiting to for the Google Hangout to work. You know.
So John, anyways. Another song that like the modern song that I really like, yeah, before your earbuds go.
Okay.
Is by a, like, I don't even know if it's a band or a DJ or whatever, called Sir Sly. Mm-hmm. It's called High. It's a interesting song to me for some reason.
Okay.
Right, it's got a good beat to it. I follow it. I don't know.
Okay. I know it after you played it that one time, but I don't think I knew that. I don't think I'd ever heard of like Sir Sly or anything, right? It's a good workout song. There's a good workout song for you.
It's a good workout song. It's a good running song. If I work out, I'm out running. I'm just running with earbuds and then just running.
Running with the Devil, Van Halen. We should put that on the list sometime.
Feels good to be running from the devil.
Yep. That would be good. See, that's what I think we should do, Scott. Sometimes I feel like we should take the new song, and then if they say it feels good to be running with the devil, then maybe we should put on Van Halen, Running with the Devil, and do like little, you know, like name kind of things. But anyway, if you wanted a glimpse into our personalities, if you do, then I don't know what's wrong with you. But we have a Grumpy Dozen, and we'll make a little playlist. I was actually listening to it. It's good. It's good to listen to. So anyway. It's
a good little mix of music.
It is a good little mix of music. Okay, so you know what? I want to finish up strong with a story, and I have a grumpy story. This is a great story, I feel like. It's 100%. Not fake news. By the way, if you get a chance, watch Scott Bedley's TED Talk on fake news. It is now up on YouTube. It has, what? In the first week, it has over 150 views. I haven't looked lately. It could have more. I just got that information from Scott Bedley. But I don't think it's even been out.
What's amazing is that I'm one of 100,000 TED Talks that are out there now.
So
I feel like I'm a McDonald's hamburger.
Scott Bedley, you're the McDonald's. You're the McDonald's hamburger Happy Meal, but you're like the really cool toy, also, right? Like you're like the Transformers.
Everyone's like going to the drive-through twice for. Is that what you're saying, John?
Yeah, that's right. They're like, wait, can I have that other one? I'm missing this one right here. I'm missing Optimus Prime.
Buy the Hatchimals this year.
So I feel right, the Hatchimals, right? Those things, you can find those everywhere now. I want to say this because it relates to Global School Play Day, and we like to finish with a little plug for Global School Play Day because it's coming up. So when I first, if yesterday in Texas, there was in Central Texas where I used to live, there was a big snowstorm. It was a lot of snow on the ground. It happens pretty much like once a decade over there. Last time I was teaching in Texas, it started to snow kind of like that during the school day. And what I did was the kids were just enamored with it. And I had just moved from Alaska, so I didn't really think much of it. But it did start to kind of stick to the ground a little bit. And the kids were just crazed. Well, the problem was we had a new administrator, and he did not approve of any recess whatsoever. No recess, They got their recess at lunchtime afterwards, and that was it. So I kind of looked at them, and it's kind of one of those moments where you can just kind of make a choice on what's good for kids and if you're going to get in trouble, whatever. So, of course, I was probably already in trouble anyway. So we stopped class. We took the kids out, and they played in the snow and made snowmen and threw snowballs and did all that because there's no rules on snowballs in Texas, right? They played in the snow, and it was the greatest thing, Scott, because once I, like, broke the seal, everybody came out, and the whole school was pretty much out there playing in the snow, kids of all ages playing together. It was fun. And this is a principal who told me that, like, in Texas, there's no unions. So you have all sorts of duties, like lunch duty, and you go out on recess duty and whatever. I used to go on recess duty. I used to love going on recess duty because I'd play, like, the all-time quarterback. Or if it was basketball, we'd pick the teams, and I'd go up against the really good kids, and we'd put the other kids, you know, the kids that weren't as skilled would come on my team, and then I'd try and pass it to them and, you know, whatever. So this is the same principle that said you can't play with the students because you have to be monitoring at all times, right? And if I got caught and I got reprimanded and whatever. So this is a person that was very anti-play. He's not, I don't think he's the principal there anymore for obvious reasons. So,
and by the way, John, if people go to globalschoolplayday.com, they can click on the link to show everybody who's registered and see hundreds and hundreds of comments of all the teachers out there who love, and principals who love having their kids get a chance to play.
Yes, just let your kids play, right? So I'm using it as a little bit to rip on that person. I just always disappointed me. It was one of those decisions that I thought was a really silly decision. And I don't think you ever think of someone the same after they say you can't play with students. I think that's if I'm out on duty, I can't monitor students. I mean, I'm monitoring the students. If somebody gets hurt playing football, I'm right there to help them. You know what I'm saying? There's other teachers out there. Well, so anyway, in Central Texas yesterday, it snowed. One of those same students that was in my class that went out actually messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, check this out. This snow reminds me of when we were in fourth grade. He's now a student at Texas A&M University. And he remembers all the way now, he's in 13th or 14th grade, remembers all the way 10 years ago in fourth grade when I had the guts to take them out. And right, I think I took the heat. I think that everybody kind of said afterwards, like, well, we came out because Samuelson was out there, right? I'm like, I don't care. I'll take the fall for this one. I'm going to take the fall for a bunch of stuff. I feel like sometimes as a teacher, I don't know. I feel like there's decisions made by administrators sometimes that, like, you're not just supposed to question it. But I think that not playing with kids at recess is a silly, silly thing to say. And not having recess and not having the ability, even if it was, it's not like we would abuse recess or anything.
But I thought redeemed because 10 years later, here's a kid that's in college and took the time to, like, message me on Facebook and just said, hey, this reminds me of the snow from 10 years ago. I was like, see, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes the teachable fun moments aren't even teachable moments at all. They're just time spent with students and doing cool things, right? So anyway, Global School Play Day, go and sign up, bring back the fun to just school, bring back the fun. Quit being so serious.
No, I mean, I agree with you, John. I think it's tough to see a school system that has lost the ability to enjoy what kids bring to this world, and that's play and excitement and curiosity, and I think there's a lot of teachers that crave that, and they've forgotten about it because they've been so pushed and driven to do all the content and the standards and the tests that they've lost that connection to what this is all about. And that's what Global School Play is about, is like trying to reconnect the kids to play, but also the teachers to what it means like to have their kids playing and the joy that comes with that.
So anyway, all right, well, my earbuds have given out. That must mean it's time to go. Scott, do you have anything cool to say on the way out? Good to grump with you, man.
I just appreciate that you're still willing to podcast with me, John.
I know. Hey, you're my favorite person to podcast with. No offense to Brian Briggs, just because he's sleeping right now. There's nobody else who would podcast at 12:30 in the morning with me.
I'm your favorite person right now to podcast with. I you know, and I love Brian, and I love his energy, and I'm a big Brian Briggs fan, and I know we joke around about that a little bit, but I think the guy is just an amazing dude, and I love what he's doing, and I appreciate a lot of advice and things he's brought to me. So
yeah, shout out to Brian Briggs. I know he's good. That's why I try and podcast with him. He's a good man, Charlie Brown. So anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for listening, Christina Luce. Thank you to my mom for not watching tonight. I hope that you will give that up, harassing me on social media. Just so you know, Mom, when we talk about oversharing, when you make little comments on my Twitter, like the first times, you've been muted on my Twitter feed. So you can keep making comments. I will never see them because I know how to power my social media so that it works for me. Remember, don't be afraid to use the mute button, people, or just unfollow people. The truth will set you free. Oversharers, be warned. You might be muted. Anyway. All right, have a good one. Scott, can we do one more before the end of the year? Are we going to do a new year one? This will be like our fifth year of Bedley Brothers and Techlandia, which will change to Teaching in Beta pretty soon over break.
Right, it's 5 years.
5 years, right?
Just barely beat you as a Techlandia host.
That's right. You're still going to say you started a day earlier, even though you started like a month later. I know.
We did, John. I'll admit it right now. We started a day earlier than you.
Well, all I know is Bedley Brothers is a much better show.
No, it's
not. You know what? But Techlandia, Teaching in Beta, whatever we're calling it, we do have more of a variety since you never know what podcast you're going to get if you subscribe. You couldn't grow up.
All good, John. Hey, John, we're all just trying to be authentic and bring some information to people in the classroom that we want to help. Like, that's all Techlandia's ever been. That's all the Bedley Brothers have been. And there's a lot of other podcasts out there that are not about that, John.
Right.
They're about somehow trying to become edufamous. They're about some whatever it might be. And I'm so thankful that after 5 years that you and I can say that we've tried to be true and authentic to our original mission of helping teachers out.
That's right. Yeah. I think we have. I mean, whatever I say here, I would say it to, you know, if we wanted to talk about my administrator that wouldn't let me be all-time quarterback, I would say the stuff to his face, to be honest with you.
Totally.
Because I don't work for him anymore.
You're so brave, John.
All right. So we will tweet out the list of the Grumpy Dozen. If anybody, if you follow the Grumpy Dozen playlist on Spotify that we tweet out, and Scott might retweet it or he might not, but I'll tweet it for sure. And
it's definitely not a holiday playlist.
By the way, our show, we always try and keep it very G-rated on the podcast, but don't expect that from our Grumpy Dozen.
No, we have
no responsibility. We like to listen to our music, and we're adults. We like to hear the music, and if people happen to say words that are authentic, we take them with that. Like Zach De La Rocha, he's not pulling any punches. He wants you to testify. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good one, Scott. Let's try and do a show right after Christmas.
Well, I think we'll probably be doing one on Christmas Eve, John. On New Year's Eve.
We did the New Year's Eve one. We brought in the New Year this last year. We could try.
I think that needs to be a tradition we continue on.
Okay, Seacrest out. We're going to be, you heard it here first. Get ready, Christina Luce, December 31st. It'll be 3 in the morning, but
we're in the new year. Thanks. All of us on the West Coast are like celebrating how we've done the East Coast New Year's. Celebrating how she did the West Coast New Year's.
That's right. Anyway, all right, everybody, thanks for listening. We will catch you on the flip side.